Hello, welcome to Scattered Group Season 2, Session 1. We're in the book of 1 John, Chapter 4. I'm so glad that we get to resume these. We've had some great conversations in the past, terrific Bible studies, and good fellowship, which is mutually encouraging, healthy, and helpful in our church family. So thank you for participating. Host, thank you for hosting. If our groups grow rather large, we'll divide up again and make some other small groups to facilitate everyone. I know some places have limited amount of parking and everything. It looks like I'm coming to you from Ephesus. You can see the theater back in the back and some old columns, people walking around. So this would be Ephesus. I'm trying a little bit new format, some new tools to make this a new or better experience in our small groups. Just trying to make things as best as possible. Here we are in 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to talk about the correlation between knowing God and loving others. Knowing God and loving others. There's a direct connection. Before we get into that, I'll go ahead and pray. I'd like you to know we do have our men's Bible study coming up on Saturday morning. Dad's M46. That's at 9. And there's some other great things coming soon. Our missions conference. Please contact Marie. We want to have a great missionary meal on that Sunday evening, and I hope you'll come each of the days of the conference, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so that'll be here just less than 2 weeks. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get right into our study. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, fellowship, encourage one another. As we open the Bible, we pray that you would teach us more about you, that we would know you better, and then in turn love other people like you love them. And so teach us now and grow us. We thank you for everyone who's participating, all those who are watching and tuning in. We pray for your blessing and help now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Oliver Wendell Holmes, a brilliant physician and writer, and his brother John really looked at life a lot differently. Dr. Holmes loved to collect compliments. He was the older brother. He indulged himself in his pastime by saying to someone who has just praised his work, or praise the quality about him, he would say, "Hey, I'm a little bit deaf. Can you say that louder?" so that everyone could hear. His younger brother, John, was content to say that when he was about 6 years old, that's the only time he received the compliment. His maid said, while she was working on his hair, she looked at him and said that, he's not so cross-eyed after all. That's the only compliment younger brother John could ever recall. When it comes to knowing the Lord, or some people say, "I want to praise the Lord," we got to know God in order to be able to do that. C.S. Lewis wrote, "To praise God fully, we must suppose ourselves to be in perfect love with God, drowned in, dissolved by that delight which, far from remaining pent up within ourselves as incommunicable bliss, flows out from us incessantly again in effortless and perfect expression. Our joy is no more separable from the praise in which it liberates and utters itself than a brightness a mirror receives is separable from the brightness it sheds." What a great statement here. If we're going to praise God, we've got to know God. If we're going to love God, we need to know the Lord as well. Follow along, if you would. And I've thought about having a pause right now and having someone volunteer to read the passage. So if you're interested and think, "Hey, I'd like to try that maybe," well, you can press pause now if you like. I could fit it into, but let me know Sunday if you're interested in pausing and having somebody read the passage. I'm going to give some commentary along the way as we read today. 1 John 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment, the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The idea of torment has the idea of punishment. And so you have this grief, and you have maybe guilt and consistent agony about things because someone's making decisions and living by fear. Perfect love casts that fear out. We'll elaborate on that in just a moment. We love him because he first loved us. What a great characteristic of God. What an awesome thing. He shows that love initiative. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, he who loveth God love his brother also. So we can't see God, but we can see God in us as he's working and changing us to be more like Christ. And really it's demonstrated then in how we love other people. And so not seeing God is really emphasized a couple times already that we've read. There's a direct connection between knowing God and loving others. God's crazy about you. When it comes to his love, he's crazy about you. He has this incredible, unending love for you. He loves you so much. The old song says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. What a great thought that is. One person wrote, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. He is, and his love is unconditional, impartial, everlasting, infinite, and perfect. This is the love that God has for us. Now, I want to know that God. You want to know that God. And when we know him, then we can love others better. Knowing God changes how we love other people. Here's three observations. Number one, the action of knowing. It should become an action in our life. When we are unloving, we are not knowing God. Verse 8 makes that clear. When we are not knowing God, we are unloving. Think about the times when you were most unloving towards others. You were not knowing God like you should. But when we know God better, that's when we can actually show love more effectively to others. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is righteousness. God is holy. God is judge. God is creator. God is the Savior. He's also love. A definition, God is love. So there's the action of knowing. When we are unloving, we are not knowing God. So love is giving. Think about verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. This love is that agape love, the selfless, sacrificial, and giving love. Love is giving. He gave his only begotten Son. In verse 13, look at it. He gave us of his Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit because of his love. And in addition, he makes us to be more like him at the end of verse 17, because as he is, so are we in this world. And so he's given all this to us. And the motivating factor of this giving is love. Love is giving. Love decides to love first, even if that love is not returned. Love is going to give even, it's going to give love even to someone who's not giving any love in return. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. You see, he initiated it and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So you're called to love others. Well, they don't love me back, or they're not kind back, or I don't think they like me back. We're called to love first. Love demands that we love others in return. Mankind hated Jesus, and yet he initiated that love. Mankind crucified Jesus, and yet he initiated this love. Love is loving even the unlovable. When we know God, it is easier to love the unlovable. So how can we know God more? This gets into spiritual formation, some practical tips for us. We want to be reading the Bible, study the Bible, meditate on the scriptures, participate in church, get in your scattered group and make a meaningful impact in it. Get to the Bible studies. We have different Bible studies that are being conducted. Practice spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, Bible memory, Bible meditation, witnessing, study, all of these things. Make knowing God an action. Make it an action. Brother Lawrence, I've read his book from the 17th century called Practicing the Presence of God. He was 18 years old, and he started to write and give lectures, and that's where this book comes from. So over the course of the rest of his life, he wrote these different things. Here's one of the things he wrote. By the way, no matter your age, you can start to write things down. You can start to minister, and you can start to focus on practicing God's presence. And that's the name of this book. And here's what he wrote. Let us give our thoughts completely to knowing God. The more one knows him, the more one wants to know him. And since love is measured commonly by knowledge, then the deeper and more extensive knowledge shall be. So love will be the greater. And if love is so great, we shall love him equally in suffering and in consolation. In good times and in bad, if we know the Lord, he'll see us through. And that demonstrates our love really back towards him. And so we have knowing God changes how we love others. And we see that three ways, the action of knowing. Number two, the assurance of love. The assurance of love. There's some assurance. There's some comfort in this passage that John has written for us. Notice in verse 9, we have his son. God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. So the son gives us life. We just read that. We can live through him. He gives us purpose. Why am I here? Well, that's the reason why we have life through Christ, his love for us. And he gives us meaning. There's a reason for your life. There's a purpose for your being here. And the Son of God in you gives us that life. He also gives us of his Spirit. Verse 12 and 13 tell us about that. Verse 13 continues, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And so this love is being perfected in us. We can testify in verse 14. No man has seen God at any time. Okay, we haven't seen him, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected. It means it's matured, completed. We become more like Christ. So he gives us his Spirit. The Spirit of God makes us more aware. I like situational awareness to know what's happening around. And we need to know what's going on around us. You can see the camera kind of zoomed out. It's some awareness of learning this new equipment. And having spiritual awareness is important as well. We must have a spiritual awareness, but that comes from the Spirit of God. He gives us maturity. He helps us to have assurance. Next, he gives us his Savior. In verses 14 through 15, he's given us his Son. And this is such a paramount verse, so important. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in him and he in God. In other words, this guy's a Christian because he claims, he knows, he believes, he confesses Jesus is the Son of God. A lost man cannot say Jesus is God's Son. He cannot say Jesus is the Son of God. He can't do it. He cannot say that Jesus has come in the flesh. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. We looked at that at the finale of our season 1, that a lost person can't say that. Like the Spirit in previous chapters, there's some things that person or Spirit can't say about Jesus. And still, when it comes to a person, can't be saved. A person who says this, he is a Christian. He's a person who knows the same Lord that we know. And so we have his Savior. That means we can testify. That means we can love others. We can be in God, like it says here in this passage. Now, this word confess is so important here. It's an interesting word, homologeo, and we get the word homo sapien. Think about the same. The word homosexual, it's a root word homo. It means one or the same. Homologeo, this word confess, means of one mind, the same. It means agreeing and saying the same thing, to make confession. You see that throughout the New Testament. Confession is made unto righteousness, or confession is made unto salvation. Okay, I'm agreeing. And in this context, confession, I am agreeing with something outside of myself, something that is greater outside of myself. In other words, when a person says Jesus is the Son of God, he's agreeing with God about who Jesus is. And what an incredible concept this is. So a lost man cannot say that. Friends, Christian love will rise above human differences to show itself in absolute loyalty to others in their need. Christian love looks on other persons through the eyes and with the heart of God. Christian love respects others as persons who are objects of God's love. So here's some questions. Am I demonstrating God's love to others? Am I demonstrating love to others not only in my actions, but in my attitude? Sometimes we do something good, but with a bad attitude, kind of erases the good act. Is it evident that I'm arrogant and know-it-all, or do I come across with compassion and gentleness and kindness? How did Jesus love me? And finally, then, the absence of fear. The absence of fear. Love prompts us to seek others where fear causes us to shrink away from other people. Notice in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. This idea of torment is punishment. Some people lived their whole life based and making decisions based on fear. I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. What if this? What if that? And they have constant grief or anxiety or guilt, sometimes true guilt, maybe false guilt. They have different problems. And for the Christian, when we're making decisions and living not in fear and making decisions not because of what I'm afraid of, it's because of love. I know God, I can love others, and perfect love. When we start to love like we should, we're not going to be like, well, what are they going to think? And what are they going to do? And how are they going to react? And I don't want to make everybody angry. And I've been there, you've been there as well. We've got to be so careful that we don't let fear control our minds, because that will leave us in consistent punishment or guilt or grief or this word torment. Think about this in a broader context then. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. At the judgment seat of Christ, there doesn't have to be any shame. You don't have to go through life today being ashamed or fearful and afraid of the judgment seat of Christ when you're loving properly, when you're loving the right way and not leading and living by fear. No shame. And that's mostly because as he lives, that's how we're living. As he lived on earth, that's how we are trying to imitate and replicate in our own lives. And as we wait for the future, we don't have to live in agony. You don't have to live based on fear. Avoid it. Perfect or maturing love does not live or lead a life based on fear. Avoid living that way. Friends, a Christian, a true Christian, is a sign of contradiction, a living symbol of the cross. He or she is a person who believes the unbelievable, bears the unbearable, forgives the unforgivable, loves the unlovable, is perfectly happy not to be perfect, is willing to give up his or her will, becomes weak to be strong, and finds love in giving it away. Let's be knowing God and loving others. Please take some time to share in good discussion and then pray with your group. Thank you. God bless.